I'll probably use some of these verses in the service on Tuesday afternoon from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I usually do at funeral services, although this is not a funeral sermon tonight. But these verses remind us of a truth. It's a truth that all of us know, but it's a truth that all of us need to be reminded of from time to time. And it's a truth we need to live by to be content. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Now, Paul was a traveler. He moved from lived in different places, traveled to different places. But when he said, "I've learned in whatsoever state," he wasn't talking about where he was geographically. He was talking about the circumstances that were in his life at the time. And there were good circumstances in Paul's life. I mean, he had a lot of Christian friends. He enjoyed a lot of Christian fellowship. I think he had a lot of good times with his brothers and sisters in Christ. But there was also some times of trial in Paul's life. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was thrown in prison, and there was a lot of times that he could have been uncontent or not content, but he said, "I have learned in whatever the conditions of my life, whatever's going on in my life, therewith to be content." And we need to learn the same thing. Too many of us, when circumstances are not good, we lose our contentment. And our contentment should not be dependent on what the circumstances that are going on in our life. Our contentment should be based in the relationship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our contentment should be based in what and how God works in our life. When we know that He's in control. When we know there's nothing that comes into our life unless He says, "Okay." When we know that everything that comes into our life has a plan and has a purpose. And so tonight, I want to go back to this chapter that Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, included in the book of Ecclesiastes, and remind you tonight that life is made up of cycles. God has set a time for when a cycle of life starts and when that cycle ends. And for every cycle of life, God has a purpose. And verse 11 in chapter 3 says that when we realize that the controller of the cycles of life is God, and that He has a purpose for every one of those cycles, and we can trust Him because He is God, then we can say, "He hath made everything beautiful." Everything is beautiful. And regardless of what's going on, we ought to be able to say like Paul, and again, we got to learn it. It doesn't come naturally. Our old nature, our old man, wants us to be not content, wants us to be ill content, and we need to learn as a Christian, based on the relationship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, based on who He is and what He's working in our life, that everything He does is beautiful, and therefore, we can be content. Now, there are some cycles in life that we enjoy. We enjoy those times when a birth takes place. We enjoy those times when a new life comes into the world. We enjoy those times when God sends healing to somebody that's been sick. We enjoy those times when He causes us to laugh. We enjoy those times when He makes us to dance. We enjoy those times when we get to embrace and hug those that we love. We like the times when we get. We like the times when we get to keep. We like the times when we love. And we like the times of peace. And when when the good circumstances, and I would put all those things in the category of good circumstances, good things that God allows to come into our life, it's easy to be content. It's easy to say, "God is good." It's easy to say, "God knows exactly what He's doing." It's easy to say, "God has a purpose." And maybe I can't see the purpose even in the good things, but I know He has a purpose. I know He's going to make it beautiful, and therefore I can be content. But most of us would like to skip the negative or the bad cycles of life. I mean, if it would be up to us, we would skip the vegetables and always eat dessert. Amen? Although there are some vegetables I like. But if we were going to choose, yeah, okay, now here's a bowl of green beans. Here's a bowl of ice cream. Here's a bowl of broccoli. Here's a bowl of banana pudding. Here's a bowl of carrots. Here's a bowl of just chocolate. I know what I'd pick. I know what most of you would pick. We'd pick the dessert. So we'd skip the vegetables and we'd eat to the dessert. We'd skip the work and always be on vacation. I mean, we like vacations. We have fun on vacations. And if it was up to us, we'd just skip the working part and make every day a vacation. We'd skip the winter. Some of you do because you leave. But we'd skip the winter. And we just make it spring and summer all the time. We'd just be, you know, not too cold, not a lot of snow to shovel, not a lot of ice to fight with. It'd just be spring and summer all the time. And some of us would just skip the rain altogether. I mean, we just have it be sunshine every day of every month. But God knows better. God knows that we need vegetables. He knows that we need to work. He knows that we need winter. He knows that we need rain. He knows we need balance in our life. He knows there's some things that we can only learn about in the hard cycles, in the cycles that we would skip, that we would choose to skip if we could choose. And so he sends those hard cycles into our life. He sends time of death. He sends time to weep, time to mourn, time to keep from embracing, time to lose, time to cast away. I was thinking about it, and I changed my sermon a little bit tonight because of visiting with Michael a little bit this afternoon. You know, Michael's going through a hard cycle right now. He's been in the hospital. How long, Debbie? Almost 10 days? Almost 2 weeks. He hates being in the hospital. He would love being home. But he was telling me this afternoon, you know, when he had his problem a week or so ago, his brother had come and was taking him home, and that's when he had his cardiac arrest, and he had to rush him back into emergency. So his brother was there with him. And Michael was telling me, you know, my brother and I always haven't had a good relationship. We hardly ever talk at all. But he said, you know what? The last week, he has called me every day. Every day. And he said, you know, when I used to try to talk to him about the Lord, he'd just say, hey, shut up. I don't want to hear about that. I don't believe in God. I don't believe there is a God. You can believe in God all you want, but I don't want to hear anything about it. Michael says the last few days, he says, you know, I've been able to talk to my brother about the Lord. He said, I hate being in the hospital. I hate what's going on in my life the last 2 weeks. But if it leads to my brother hearing the gospel, if it leads to my brother receiving Christ as his Savior, then I'll say, God, it's been good. It's been good. Some of you didn't know this, probably, if you haven't taken the time to talk to him. But he got polio when he was about 2 years old. And it was before the times that they had the polio vaccine. It was back in the early 50s. And he said, you know, preacher, every time you talk about the lepers in your sermons, he says, I can identify with those people. Because when I got polio, they took me away from my family. And they took me to a hospital in Pontiac, and I was there with all the other polio kids. I could see my brothers and sisters through a window. We could wave to each other. I could see my parents through a window, but I couldn't be with them. He said, now I was just a kid. A lot of time I was in an iron lung. I couldn't go home if I wanted to. But he said, you know what? Even though that was a hard experience, today, I think of every day as a gift from God. Every day. Now again, we wouldn't choose to spend 2.5 years away from our family. We wouldn't choose to be a leper, so to speak, and be separated from those we love. But if that time would cause us to understand and to realize that every day is a gift from God, and we ought to live every day enjoying that gift that God has given us, then I think we too would say, God has made everything beautiful in his time. I was thinking about Brother Gerald when I prepared this sermon. The last few days of Kim's life, I'd call him and say, "Brother Gerald, how are you doing?" He said, "I'm sad. I'm sad. I know where she's going, but I'm sad." And when he called me, when she went to heaven on Thursday, he told me, he said, "You know, part of me died. Part of me died." And you know, it's times like this that, and I know you might find this strange, but it's times like this when a pastor and their people get to know one another. Because as he was going through this cycle that hurts, he also relived the good cycles that God gave to him and Kim. He told me about when they got married. They were in Korea. He went to the consulate, right, Brother Gerald, the ambassador's place, and he went up to the counter, filled out some papers, signed some papers, and Kim was sitting over in the chair. He came back over to him and said, "Okay, we're married." And she looked at him. "Yes." And he said, "Yes, we are really married." And she didn't believe him. I mean, they were really married according to, you know, all the laws and the statutes that existed for a marriage like that. Now, by the way, they had a church wedding when they got home. There's some people here tonight that haven't done that yet, but who will remain nameless. But it took him 2 or 3 days before he could convince Kim that they were really married. Now that was a good time. That was a happy time. That was a time to embrace, a time to love. What he's going through now is a time of death, a time of loss, a time of hurt. he told me about the time that he and Kim went up to Maine. And Kim has hundreds of friends. I don't know how many will be able to be here on Tuesday, but it wouldn't surprise me if this place was packed. I mean, all you have to do is just sit in the hospital for a little bit and just see lady after lady after lady after lady come in. And every single one of them would take her by the hand, tell her that they love her. Now, I assume that's what they told her. They spoke in Korean. Sometimes Daryl was there and would interpret for me, but take her by the hand, and you could just tell. You know, the Bible says to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. I could tell by the hundreds of ladies that I saw come into that hospital room that Kim knew how to be a friend, because she had hundreds and hundreds of friends. And so he was telling me one time they went to Maine, and Kim wanted to bring back lobsters, wanted to bring back a lobster for all her friends. And and they were live lobsters, and they didn't have rubber bands on their claws. So Kim was in the back of their motorhome or whatever they were in, trying to stuff all these lobsters into the freezer. And as she'd stuff one in and one crawl out. She'd stuff one in and one crawl. Brother Gerald was up in the front driving. He was just laughing, laughing, laughing. And the more he laughed, the madder Kim got. That was a good time. That was a time of laughter. That was a time of happiness. This is a time of loss. This is a time of tears. Life is comprised of cycles. He told me about the time he tried to teach her to drive. And then said, "I finally hired somebody else to teach her to drive." And as I sat there and I listened as he related story after story after story, I said, "Thank you, God. I wouldn't pick times like this. But thank you for letting me get to know this couple more than I ever would have any other way." And I would say God has made everything beautiful in his time. Now, if it was up to me, I'd throw out all the hard times. I'd throw out all the negative times. I relish the happy times. I relish the times we get to laugh and the times we get to dance, but it's not up to me. God knows what we need. He says in the book of Romans chapter 8, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And I told Michael, when I talked to him this afternoon, I said, "You know, Michael, I believe that verse, what it means is it may not work together for our good, When we're going through the trial and we want to claim that verse and say, God, I know that sooner or later this is going to work for my good. I don't think that verse means that. I think that verse means it's going to work together for somebody's good, but it may not be ours. It may be somebody else in our life that God is trying to reach with the gospel. It may be somebody else in our life that God's trying to get back on the right track. And he will do what's necessary. And we as his people need to understand that sometimes he'll put us through the valley and he'll put us through the hard times so that he can accomplish something in somebody else's life. And so it does work together for good. And he does make everything beautiful in his time. Now, I have a machine in my house, and so do all of you, that illustrates this truth. That machine is called a washing machine. It has cycles. On my washing machine, I have a pre-soak cycle, which is when something is really, really dirty, you put it in there and it soaks for a while. And then there's the wash cycle, where the detergent goes in and everything is sloshed around and the detergent works with the water to get all the dirt out. And then there's a spin cycle where the thing goes round and round and round and spins out all the dirty wash water. Then there's the rinse cycle where clean water goes in and rinses all the soap out. And then there's another spin cycle which squeezes all the rinse water out. Now again, as I talk about these cycles for a washer, I want you to think about the cycles of life. All right? All of these cycles in my washing machine and your washing machine were designed by the builder of the washer. In the cycles of our life, they are all designed by our Maker. They are designed by our God. All of those cycles have a set time to start. They start when I put the button on or the lever on that cycle, but they have a set time that they will run. And then they will end. All the cycles in our life have a time set by God. The order of the cycles are set. I mean, you would not want to, you know, do the rinse before you do the wash. You would not, I mean, the order that the builder of the washing machine has set is the right order. Pre-soak, wash, rinse, rinse. Oh, pre-wash, wash, spin, rinse, spin. I mean, those are the proper orders. For the thing to accomplish what it needs to accomplish, it needs to be done in that order. I will tell you tonight that the one who sets the order of the cycles in our life has set them in the proper order. We don't need to worry that they're out of order. We don't need to worry that they're not in the proper sequence. The one who made us has set the cycles. He has set a purpose. He has set a time for each of them. He has set them in the proper order. And he has a specific purpose for each one of them. Every cycle in our life has a purpose. And that purpose was designed by our Maker. And so tonight, I thought this would be a good illustration. I want you to talk to my shirt tonight. I want you to ask my shirt what it thinks of the washing machine. It's been through it several times. I just wear my shirts once and then I wash them. But I want you to talk to my shirt tonight. Now, I'll help you. Shirt, how do you like the washing machine? Well, it's not bad. It's all right. He would say, I like the pre-soak, the pre-wash soak. I really like that. It's cool. It's relaxing. All I'm doing there is sitting there. There's no strain, no hardship. I mean, everything is good. Now, I think the wash cycle lasts a little bit too long. And sometimes the detergent is a little rough. Sometimes I think Daryl could pick out a gentler detergent and it wouldn't be so rough on me. And sometimes that wash cycle lasts just a little bit too long and I wish it would be a little bit shorter. But that's not bad. But then comes the spin cycle, and that spin cycle just about does me in. I mean, I just have to close my eyes and count. I know how long it's going to last. I just close my eyes, 1,001, 1,000. I know when I get to a certain number, it's going to be over, and I'm so glad it's over. Now, I feel good because all that dirty water is gone, and I feel clean. And when that rinse water comes in, you know, it doesn't agitate too hard, and it feels real good to be clean and to smell good, and I just enjoy it. But then that doggone spin cycle comes back, and I about lose it again. I just go round and round and round and round. Now, again, I wonder if we could interview ourselves. How many of us would complain about the cycles that God brings into our life? Again, our designer, the one that made us, set the time and the order and the purpose for every cycle. And in my little analogy tonight, we could say that the water in the washing machine represents the Holy Spirit. Just like every fiber of my shirt needs to be submersed in the water that's in the washing machine, so every fiber of our life needs to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. What would we say to my shirt if it came out and said to me before I put it in the washer, "Now, just a minute, Manning, I don't care, you can wash the whole thing, but this little spot right here, I don't want any water and I don't want any soap getting on that spot right there. This spot right there is just fine. It's not dirty. So don't give me any water or don't give me any soap in this spot right here." What would we say to that shirt? We would say, "You're crazy. You need the water in every spot." You know, there are people that say to the Holy Spirit, "Hey, you can have all of me except for this little spot right here. This little spot right here is fine. This little spot right here in my life, I can run myself. This little spot right here in my life, I don't need you, Holy Spirit. I can take care of this spot very well all by myself." And I want to say to you tonight, and I'll speak to myself as well as I speak to my shirt, you're crazy. There's no part of your life that you don't need the Holy Spirit to immerse your life in. Every part from head to toe. The water represents the Holy Spirit. The detergent represents the Word of God, the Bible. Just like the detergent works on dirt and grease, so the Bible works on the sin in our life. It calls itself a sharp two-edged sword that goes in and cuts out those things that don't need to be in our life. In the washing machine, there's something else. I haven't talked about it up till now because I'm sure if you ask my shirt, he would tell you, he or she, whatever it is, I think it's a he, but who knows. He would tell you, there's one part I hate about that washing machine. I just hate it. I wish the designer had left it out. The agitator. The thing in the middle that goes up and down or around, you know, however yours goes. Hey, I want you to know the last washing machine I had, my shirt likes because it doesn't have an agitator. I don't know how it does it, but it does. But I can remember the washing machine I had before had an agitator right in the middle. It went up and down, just like this. My grandma had one that went around like this. The agitator is that thing that stirs. This is good preaching, isn't it? Amen, man. The agitator is the thing that stirred up the water, stirred up the clothes, and made the water get the clothes clean, and made the water rinse the soap out. You know what? God has put agitators in your life. Sometimes it's your spouse. I'm not going to say anything about that. You can draw your own conclusions. Sometimes it's your parents. Jameson, Katie, Ty, Miguel, Dominique, Shaylin, Josh, Stacy. Sometimes it's your parents. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to give you any examples. Sometimes they just agitate you. But you know what? And I'll say the same thing for our spouses. You know what? They're given that job by God. Amen? They're given that job by God. I mean, God uses them to stir things up, to help us get the dirt out of our life. I mean, you know, most of my shirts would say, "Hey, we're going to take a boat. We want to throw the agitator out of the washing machine. We don't want to get beat up. I mean, that agitator beats a snot out of them. I don't have snot on too many of my shirts, but every now and then I get some on there. got to beat that. Oh, this is good preaching, isn't it? All right. But that's what happens. I mean, that agitator just beats the snot out of those clothes. And sometimes if we could choose, we say, I don't want any agitation in my life. I don't want anybody to stir me up. I don't want anybody to remind me of my sins or hold a mirror up so I can see what's wrong in my life. I don't want anybody to do that. But God said, no, you need that. Amen. Sometimes I'm going to send an agitator into your life. You know, sometimes I'm your agitator. In fact, I got a sermon I preached sometime. I am here to irritate you. And that's the job that I have sometimes. To agitate you, to get you to thinking about your life and about what you should be doing for God. And so the worship machine has an agitator, and we have agitators that come into our life. Now, what does a washer do? Now I know it's 5 after and I'm closing down, so just stay with me for a few more minutes. What does a washer do? Washes clothes, makes them clean, it transforms them. A shirt goes in dirty, and it's transformed into something clean. Socks go in stinking. They're transformed into something that smells spring fresh. Pants go in unusable, dirty, smelly sometimes. And they come out smelling good, usable to us. And I submit to you that the cycles that God has planned for our life have the same purpose, to make us more usable to Him. That's why, again, I read you the verses as I did this morning from Romans 12, 1 and 2, where the Bible says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Just like a washer transforms those clothes. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the cycles in life set by God, designed by God, ordered by God, He uses them to make us more usable. Some of those cycles we enjoy, we relish, we wish they could last forever. Some of the cycles that we don't enjoy, we wish that we didn't have to go through them. But they're there for a purpose. They're there for a purpose. And so when those cycles come that we don't enjoy, like Michael in the hospital, he hates being in the hospital. He'd just soon be home. In fact, if I would have offered to bring him home this afternoon, he would have gotten a car and come home with me tonight. But when those cycles come that we don't enjoy, let me give you 3 things, and then I'm all done. Number one, when those cycles come that we don't enjoy, endure. Endure. You know, I hate roller coasters. I hate roller coasters. Sometimes when the kids wanted to ride one, they just shamed me into going with them. And I get on the roller coaster, and here's what I do. I close my eyes, and I start counting. 1,001, 1,002. I know when I got to 1,025 that most of them would be over because they only last a half a minute. And so I just grip my teeth, close my eyes, sit there, and count. Because I know that was going to end. I know the end of that ride is coming. The end of the cycle that you're in is going to come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Number two, learn the lesson. Learn what God wants to teach you as He puts you through that cycle. Now, I will tell you again, there's some cycles that are not for our good, but for somebody else's good. And maybe there's nothing that God wants us to learn. Maybe He just wants us to learn to trust Him. That even though we don't understand what we're going through, He knows what He's doing, and it's working out for good. Somebody's good, and it's beautiful in its time. And then number three, just enjoy it. You say, Brother Darrell, how can I enjoy it? I mean, This is a time of loss. This is a time when I want to cry. This is a time when I want to hurt. How can I enjoy it? Enjoy it because you know the one who sinned in it, the one who's designed it, the one who set the time and set the order is the one who wants the very best for you. And he has a purpose. He has a reason. He's trying to accomplish something. So many times, instead of enjoying it, and so many times instead of enduring it, and so many times of trying to learn what God's trying to teach us, we get mad at God. We think he's treated us unfairly. And I'll just remind you tonight, you have a God who loves you more than you can understand. I know we think we understand how much God loves us, but there's not a person in this room tonight that fully understands the depth of God's love for you. And even though hardships come into our life and things that make us weep and make us cry and make us doubt if God even is thinking about us, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he has to accomplish, and he knows what will accomplish it. And so when those things come, let's just trust him. If we have to grit our teeth and count, let's grit our teeth and count. But let's learn that God has a purpose behind every single one of them. And that purpose is for somebody's good. For somebody's good. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'll remind you as I close, you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is to be separated from God forever. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he hung on Calvary's cross, took all our sins. God put all our sins on him and he died for them. If you'll ask him tonight, he'll save you. If you ask him tonight, he'll forgive all your sins, give you a home in heaven, if you'll ask him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. I pray we'll walk away from here tonight loving you more. Again, maybe not understanding why you've allowed everything you have to happen in our life, but loving you more. Because we know you're our maker. And everything, every cycle of life, you have a purpose. And so I pray, Father, that we would present our bodies that living sacrifice that you can use. I pray you bless this time of invitation. If there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight that they would come. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Work in us tonight, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.